thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
You know, there have been many turning points in history, but there's no turning point like Resurrection Day. It's eternity. Turning point for eternity. Our reading this morning comes from Psalm 30, page 544 on the church Bibles. You can listen or read along. A psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. I will extol you, O Lord. You have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry in the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth. You have clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So I pray this morning, I'm going to leave a spot for you to insert. You can pray silently in that time. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we celebrate the anniversary of your glorious victory over the grave. Because you live, we shall also live, and live everlastingly in the presence of the Father. But there is still more. Because you live, you help us in the lowest of times, turning mourning into gladness. You raise us up. We thank you for healing us by your eternal power. We thank you for victory over our enemies. The only thing we covet is your abiding presence. Because of your presence and power, nothing is impossible. Right now, at this very moment, each of us silently commit our deepest need to you. Nothing is too big for you. And we look forward to your deliverance. Our pastor has committed his life to you. He has committed to you the message he brings today. Anoint his mind, soul, and spirit as he speaks. Step into our lives in a special way today. May this resurrection day be momentous in our walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Greg. as we heard Greg say, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Imagine with me a group of weary soldiers keeping watch throughout the darkest part of the night. It's cold, silent. It feels long. Every crack in the woods sends chills down their spines. Their torches burn low. They feel alone, even though they are with their fellow soldiers. Vulnerable, waiting for danger, or for dawn. That is how the disciples felt after Jesus was buried. A long, dark, uncertain night, full with grief, fear, confusion. This is not how it was supposed to end. Hope seemed to be buried with him. But then, morning broke. The stone, we heard, was rolled away. The tomb was empty. And Jesus, the light of the world, stood victorious over sin and death. The darkest night was over. Joy had come with the morning. Now, this is the pattern of the gospel. Death leads to resurrection in Christ. Night then leads to mourning, weeping to joy, Good Friday to Easter Sunday morning. There's always that transition. Where we feel overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, the sunlight breaks through. Something about the sunlight that all of a sudden makes us feel warm, even though it might not be warm outside. And there's something also about darkness and night. We tend to think that we can hide, we can escape, we can get away with certain things. I remember years ago when I used to go out to the bar scene, right? And last call was about 15 minutes to 4, right? It was late. Right, and all of a sudden, after last call, all of a sudden they would turn on the lights and you would see the mess that you were standing in. How filthy and dirty it was. And even though it might have felt good for a short period of time, that kind of lifestyle does not bring the joy that God promises. We're going to be looking at this psalm, Psalm 30. Some would say that this is a resurrection psalm. Even though it says in the beginning that it is a psalm in dedication of the temple, some would say it's really a dedication of David's palace. But when you heard, it mentions nothing about a building. It doesn't mention anything about the square footage of the palace, what materials it was made out of, right? And sometimes that can confuse us a little bit. But here's the thing, right? This psalm is a remembrance of what God does when we are in trouble. And Jesus Christ came in response of that trouble, right? Because sometimes we forget that we need Christ to pull us out of the muck and mire. Sometimes we think this life is all that it is. And let me tell you, this life, when you really peel it all back, is muck and mire, right? Don't get yourself so comfortable here. Because for some of us, this is the night, this life that we live. He came to give us hope where there was no hope. He came to give us something we needed, even though we didn't even know we needed it. And that's how the sunlight is. When it comes up, you don't know you need it until you feel the warmth of it, and all of a sudden you go, there it is. There it is. So if you've been with us for the past few months, we've been going through a season of the Psalms. In this particular year, 2025, the whole year is really going to be a time spent in the Psalms as we march towards our 300 years, right? 300 years of Goodwill Church preaching God's word here in the Hudson Valley, right? And I know what you're saying, right? Goodwill Port Jervis hasn't been here 300 years, right? If you look at that cornerstone, it says 1899. That's right. That doesn't even come close. However, Goodwill in Montgomery, right? In 1724, they gathered on that piece of holy ground, and they gathered. They didn't imagine that we would even be here, but here we are, right? And it's their faithfulness, and as they were faithful, we need to be faithful. And just so you know, this coming September, we will be celebrating 10 years. We're like little babies, right? 10 years here, right, in Port Jervis. But it all starts with Christ and what he does for us. And as I said, right, it's titled A Psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple, right? And you and I know that the temple was not built during David's lifetime. Solomon built the temple. Right, and so many believe that this was really a dedication in the building of his palace before the temple. But it's a remembrance of God saving David when he was deep in sin and illness. Right, and for some of us might not be feeling well this morning. And sometimes our illnesses come upon us, not because of anything you've done, but just because we live in a fallen world. And it's a constant reminder that this is not the way it's supposed to be. But David starts by acknowledging the very one who answered his prayers. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drew me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought me up, my soul from Sheol. You restore me to life from among those who go down to the pit. He's rejoicing. He's praising God because God answered his greatest need at that particular time, and God paid attention. Imagine that God would pay attention to your prayer, to my prayers. That he would wake you up, lift you up, draw you up, put your feet on a solid rock. He would do all of that for you. Sometimes our greatest problem is we forget. When you and I are in deep trouble, when we need God to answer, we have no problem praying for the help. But all of a sudden, once we get healed and restored, we forget to give thanks. We just keep moving. Right? It's like, oh, I guess I feel better, right? I guess that cough medicine worked, right? And we don't even stop and say, thank you, Lord, right? Thank you for providing the means for my body to get well, right? Know this, right? That wherever there's a psalm of thanksgiving, it's always on the heels of lament. Right? Just think about that for a minute. Right? The only way you and I give thanks to God is because we needed something from him. Right? We were in trouble. And when we look at this psalm and we see David, we also know through history that Jesus' connection to David in lineage means that Jesus has David's human DNA. And everything that David needed from God, Jesus just did it to his godly extreme. Because we see Jesus extolling the Father, worshiping the Father. David would say that he was near the edge of Sheol, right? Oh, Lord, you have brought me up, my soul, from Sheol. You restore me to life, right? To go to Sheol, to the pit, is to die, right? David is saying, I was close to death, but you pulled me up. Now, the difference between David and Jesus is Jesus died. He didn't not just die, he went through death in order to conquer death. And as a result of that, we sing. We sing praises to the Lord. Oh, you saints. Now, who are the saints? Yeah, all believers in Jesus Christ. Right? As one person experiencing the healing and the gift of Jesus Christ, I say, you come along and let's sing praises to God. Let's sing praises to God. That's why we say, he is risen. He is risen. He is risen. We're praising our Lord for what he has accomplished for you and for me. And then verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Right? There are moments where God corrects us. There are moments where God chases us. There are moments where also in God reveals our sin, so that we would walk in a godly way. But he does that because he loves us. And you can see how the anger is for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. He's with us. He's with us. Now, here's where it's sad, right? For the unbeliever. Right? Because for the unbeliever, it's reverse. For the unbeliever, the anger of the Lord stays. Right? The anger is there. Right? We are reminded, right, in Matthew 12, verse 34, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Judgment's coming. And for those people who don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they have a long night in front of them. Their night does become their nightmare. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. For the believer, yes, sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed. It's almost as if every time night comes upon the believer, and if you are grieving, that's the moment where all of a sudden it just gets ramped up even more. We're left to our thoughts, and our mind starts to race. For some of us, we're up 3, 4, 6 hours. But then all of a sudden, sunlight breaks, and there's like a burst of energy. Okay, I could do it one more time, right? Because he provides what I need. And as we heard, this is the gospel pattern. Night to light. Weeping turns to joy. We don't stay in our current circumstances. He takes us through it. That's why we're reminded in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. My cup runneth over. Surely mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever, because he is a good God. And here's the part about that psalm. The shepherd knows the way in and out of the valley of shadow of death. He doesn't leave you there, but he takes you through it. The question is, are you willing to trust him? And then sometimes, as believers, we get a little bit full of ourselves. Because remember, this is a psalm that David is crying out to God because God stepped in and healed him. But sometimes we forget. And you can see David here referencing a time where he forgot. As for me, I say in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Right? In other words, he's got it all under control. I have it. Lord, you know what? You're too busy. I'll take it from here. Right? How many of us sometimes say that to God? Right? God, you are taking care of so many other people around the world. I got it. Right? And we know that anytime we say that, it never works for us. Never. Do you remember the story in Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4, right? Where all of a sudden God says to him, be careful. And all of a sudden, scripture says, in a year passed, and Nebuchadnezzar, standing on top of his palace, he's saying, look at all that I have acquired. And just as those words came out of his mouth, God struck him. Right? He turned into a wild animal for 7 years. Be careful what you forget, right? Here's what he says, right? I shall never be moved. All of a sudden, David feels that he will never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand for strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. Right? When I think I have it, it's the moment God is the furthest from me. Right? It's one of the things you can remember, ego, right? Ego is an acronym for easing God out of your life, right? Whenever your ego, your pride, all of a sudden you have arrogance, and all of those are a deadly combination for your relationship with Jesus Christ. You too will find yourself dismayed if you allow your ego to push God out. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord, I plead for mercy. Right? Because he's the only one that can give us what we need more than anything. And then he says, what profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Right? And the answer to that question is no. Right? If my life was to go to Sheol, to go to the grave, right? That life is not going to praise you. That's the difficult part, right? That when we do a funeral, right? And sometimes we see our family, right? Laid out, right? And that picture is like, hey, they're sleeping. Right? And here's the thing, right? If that individual lived a life for God, all of a sudden that individual becomes part of the Hall of Fame in chapter 11 of Hebrews, where their life is a testimony for what God has been doing in and through them. And it continues to speak. But if God is not your God, dead is dead. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Right? I need God to be in my life, to lead my steps. I need him and him alone to be Lord of my life. Right? And Jesus is the only one who conquers sin and death. He's the one that provides what I need. He's the one that provides what you need. Right? Like, ask yourself right now, what do you need right now? Right? Some of you are saying, Pastor, I need you to be short with this message. And it's like, whoa. It's like, I got places to go. I got to cook my ham and my turkey later. I got company coming. Come on, Pastor. Right? We need to put it all in perspective, right? It's him. And then that brings us to the end of these verses. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosened my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, right? It's just a picture of opposites. Right? At one morning moment, I was mourning, I was crying, and all of a sudden the light came shining through, and I'm dancing. Right? Did you see Mike Young over here dancing a little while ago? Right? He brings a smile to my face. when he's dancing. And I know he's listening to me back there right now. But there's a deep joy that happens when all of a sudden your spirit connects with what God has done for you. And it's almost like it's uncontrollable. That my glory may sing your praises and not be silent, right? That's in whatever you do, in whatever aspect of life that you find yourself, that you would be singing God's praises. Let me ask you, do people in your life know that you believe in God? Do they know? Right? I hope they know. And I hope they know because you go out of your way and you tell them what Jesus Christ did for you, which is what we celebrate this morning. Right? When we say he's risen, that you won't be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever because he loves me forever. The only thing that I can do is to praise him forever and ever and ever until that last breath. Right? That it would be to the glory of God. Right? And all of it is tied to this one verse, right? For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Right? It comes, right? It's going to be different. Not because I said it's going to be different. It's going to be different because he has done it. He has conquered sin and death. Yeah, that doesn't mean that your aches and pains won't go away, right? I'm sure some of you have some aches and pains. Right? It's a constant reminder, right, that this physical body that God has given us is wearing out, right? And some of us feel tired, right? It's by 3 o'clock this afternoon, you're going to be ready for a nap, right? Like, oof, I got to get ready for tonight, right? Because the night's coming. But joy comes with the morning, right? Here's the last picture. Right, right now, you can awaken yourself to joy, fill life in Christ, right? Where God himself is the one we worship. Right, so I'm going to say this before we pray and we sing the last song, right? So last week, we had a young man, right, who's been attending our church maybe for about a month, right? And I had a semi-altar call where people came for prayer, right? And then I looked up, and as I look up, he's in the back running left and right with a flag. Like, what is that? Right? And right away, right? Sometimes in our Presbyterian reform stiffness, we go. It's like, what's that, right? Right? And yes, right? It's like, I did not set that up. But here's the one thing, right? I'm not the guy who invites the Holy Spirit in, right? The Holy Spirit is here when we got here. And the Holy Spirit, when it unleashes what it unleashes, if somebody responds, right, with a flag, right, it's like to honor and worship, right? Here's the thing, right? But sometimes when somebody does something for God, it gets in the way of your personal space, right? And here's what I know, right? That sometimes, for the church to grow, the church is going to have to look different than the church that you are accustomed to, right? Now, I'm not saying everything goes, right? I'm not saying, right? It's all with a level of, you know, moderation. It's like, yes, I believe in the speaking of tongues, but it's like, you know what? It's that might freak some people out, right? Here's the thing, right? It's when God shows up, God can do an amazing work in your life and in my life, right? And yes, sometimes when God does show up, he freaks us out, right? Because but you know what might just freak me out in a little while? That when Mike sings this last song, you guys might be dancing. I don't know. Right? I don't know. Right? Allow your worship experience to praise the one who conquers sin and death for you and for me. Right? Ask yourself, what is a joy-filled life in Christ? Right? Is it one who is stiff? Or is it one who is worshiping God just like David did, right? Where all of a sudden, as the ark was coming into Jerusalem, what was it? His wife, Michael, said, you know what? You are acting like a fool, right? And he said, if I could do it again and again, I'll do it again, right? So maybe we should act like fools for our Lord and Savior, right? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our midst. And Lord, I do pray that we would receive and believe and live out the very meaning of this day, where we remember when you walked out of that tomb alive. And we heard, he's risen. He's risen indeed. He's risen. He's risen indeed. He's risen. He's risen indeed. For the glory of our Father in heaven. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.